Welcome to the podcast, Your Future in Sales and Marketing, the podcast that helps you make great career decisions. My name is Mike Dixon, and I'm a professional sales and marketing recruiter. I love what I do, but my biggest frustration is seeing too many people not realizing their career potential. In this podcast, I'll introduce you to my network, an amazing group of business leaders from the biggest tier one organizations through to some super fast growth SMEs. They'll share their career journeys and give unique advice and insights on managing your career and leading a function and a business. Join me, Mike Dixon of AXR Recruitment and Search, to help guide your future in sales and marketing. Well, hello and welcome to the podcast, Your Future in Sales and Marketing, with me, Mike Dixon, Director of AXR Recruitment and Search. Now, our purpose at AXR is to help you make great career decisions. And in the podcast today, we're changing it up and meeting someone who's at the very early stages of their career in terms of time, but is not waiting to make things happen. I'm delighted to be talking with Aria Michael, the 22-year-old founder and managing director of The Drinks Factory. Aria, welcome to the pod. How are you?
Thanks, Mike. That's a very kind intro. I'm well. How are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Really good. Before we jump into our usual icebreakers that our listeners are familiar with, it'd be great just to get a mini elevated pitch from you on The Drinks Factory. So we'll unpick the business and your journey as we go, but it will be a new name for a lot of our listeners. So tell me, Drinks Factory.
Yeah, awesome. Well, my name's Aria. Lovely to meet all of you listening. So The Drinks Factory, we're a niche marketing agency. So we work exclusively within the liquor retail sector and also on-premise as well. And we do merchandising and in-store sampling. We've got a massive focus as well on data analytics, which I think has really helped to build what we've got today. But I think we'll probably dive a bit deeper into that. That's probably my little elevated pitch.
It's a really interesting business and I really want to jump into it. But before we do, we ask everybody this question. What's your favorite brand, Aria? And you must pick one that you've not worked on so far.
It's a really interesting question. I actually think the brand, which is my favorite, would know who they are because I've made myself quite a fanboy. But if I've got to pick another one, I'm going to go for Proper 12 Whiskey, Proximo Spirit. I think that's probably my favorite brand at the moment.
Brand of the moment. Yeah,
at the moment. We'll see what else comes. But at the moment, let's go with that.
All right. Okay. Cool. Right. Let's jump in. So where are you from? Give us a bit of your background.
So I was born here in Australia. My family are born in Johannesburg, South Africa, which obviously you can probably hear a little bit of the accent. I've got a bit of a tinge of English as well. I've actually got no link to England. I don't know why I sound like that, but I do. I've lived here my whole life. I've had little spells. I had a spell in the US playing college soccer for a bit, and I'm sure we'll jump into all that. But yeah, I'm a Sydney boy.
Sydney boy with a mixed background. Mind you, most people in Sydney could probably say that, couldn't they?
Absolutely.
We're all kind of come from different, mongrel type backgrounds.
That's
I don't know
it.
If there's a purebred Sydney,
that's
quite honestly,
it.
But
unless
you go way, way back. So you're the youngest person we've had in the pod by quite some way, I reckon, Ari. And now I was going to say under the age of 35, probably nobody, but I might have just offended a few of our previous guests. I don't know. But why did you want to come on? Because you approached me.
Yeah, I did. To be honest with you, I've got a little bit of a message. I think, being so young, and actually I'm obviously at the start of my journey, but what is really important to me is for people to give it a crack. I don't think I'd be in the position I'm in today without giving it a crack. And, for university students coming past their final year, or maybe you're, stuck in that kind of that middle block of your career, you're not too sure what to do, but hey, let's talk about it today. Let's give it a crack. And I guess we'll jump deeper into that.
Yeah, I was thinking of a theme for this pod. I said, look, don't wait, but it could be give it a crack as well. Equally good. Okay, so I want to just understand what drives you a little bit. Just figure out, what you're doing, why you're doing it. Because you've followed quite a different path since an early age. And you looked destined for football stardom at one point, and that was your very much what you were doing growing up, as you mentioned briefly earlier on. So maybe just summarize the football career first of all.
Yeah, so I think I'm obviously an avid football lover and a good player, at least I think these days. I'm not as good as I used to be when I was a bit younger. You know, I grew up just playing in my local club and I kind of went through the ranks playing in the National Premier League. So I played a few clubs, RPL, Icod Tigers, Sydney Olympic, Blacktown City. Then when I was 17, I finished school and I've had a spell over in the US in the college system. And I think football, to be honest with you, is pretty much, it plays a massive part in who I am today. I think football, what it teaches you is discipline. I think it teaches you responsibility. There's a saying my father taught me, which is you're only going to get back from the game what you give. And it's true. And I really try bring that into life as well. So, no, that's a bit about my career. I still play today, but unfortunately I'm slow as ever and I've got two left feet these days, but, I love the game and I think it's taught me so much. And it's probably, you know, that and I've got an unbelievable family and I've got to give a lot of credit to them as well for the person I am, and I'm still learning and becoming. So,
yeah, you're probably underselling yourself a bit there. When we spoke before, I think you reach pretty high rep level in soccer, and it's not everyone gets invited to go to the US to play college sports of any level. So, why did it not continue for you?
You know, I think, and to be quite vulnerable, I've gone over to America and I was a young lad. I'm 18 years old. Obviously, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, with sporting aspirations, you've got this dream, right? You picture yourself on that pedestal with the bright lights and, you know, it doesn't always end up that way. You know, you might not be good enough or, you know, for example, for me, when I was in the US, I felt quite alone because I'd never been away from my family. I was young. All of these factors, you know, and also I went at a bad time. It was during COVID. So football actually stopped and I had a bit of health problems with COVID as well. So that kind of put a bit of a stunt in my career and obviously at quite a key moment, you know, that 18, 19 year old point. And but looking back at it, I'm extremely grateful and for the experience and actually what that experience in the US taught me. So although sometimes you can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think it was probably then. It probably wasn't meant to work. Maybe in my next life, right?
Yeah, well, it sounds like you give it a real crack, as you said earlier, that, you know, you like to do. And I think, yeah, going to the States when you're 18 or 17, then COVID hits. Yeah, pretty tough stuff, Aria. But that you bounced around between, I guess, school, the US college system. At that time, you saw an opportunity in the craft beer industry, which I find really interesting because it was almost like a little recruitment business you set up. So talk about your first kind of step into business.
Yeah, this is actually an awesome story. And I don't think it's one that many people know, but to be honest with you, I think the craft beer space, those are the only people that would actually talk to me at that stage. I think that was the main thing. So what I knew when I came back from the US was I loved people. And I really liked some of the niche companies and this, even that seltzer kind of category, because that was kind of just launching when I'd come back. And the other thing I knew I was good at was getting my friends jobs. I seem to have always done that. So I actually built a little bit of a company and it wasn't massive. Look, it probably went for 3-4 months, but I used to just get my mates over. I would teach them how to be a rep. If they could have a chat or have a combo, I was like, hey, if I'm good at it, like, why can't you be? And I used to train them up. And I promise you, I would sit down with them in my house with like my laptop, my old MacBook Air and a little PowerPoint. And then I'd go to companies and I'd be like, hey, I've got an awesome guy or girl that's interested in the role. Do you want to hire him casually? And you got to pay me like whatever it was, a little clip or something. But that was my little business. And I guess that was the start of Drinks Factory.
Yeah. We have to get back to that recruitment piece. If your current career doesn't work, Aria, I mean, you come and work for us.
Oh, well, I'll never shut any doors. So.
Excellent. Now, if I had the timeline right, I'm going to try and get through this. So in 2020, you started a degree at UTS, which you're still taking. You landed a repping role with Ampersand Projects, famous for their vodka sodas. You built a name for yourself and then landed a role with Saintly. They were the first hard seltzer business. You owned by the Chile marketing guys, so distributors of Recordlic Cider. You did well there. You got promoted to a state or a national sales manager. Saw an opportunity there to deliver on a merchandising project, recruiting, I guess, the theme there, a team to deliver against a product launch activation for them. Now, I'm not sure if I've got that vaguely right, but all that, and you're still at uni before we go into Drinks Factory.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds about right. I think it kind of goes with the theme of today. I just like to throw myself at things, you know, and not necessarily always planning, as that kind of sounds. There's a lot going on there, just to kind of break it down. So the boys at Ampersand, Marcus Kellen and Alex Bottomley, like, hats off to them. You know, they've built an incredible brand with what they've got with Vodka Soda. And I think I learned a lot there. Really innovative lads. And just their touch on things, you know, they had such a precision to what they did. It taught me so much. They obviously were only looking for someone as kind of a casual role. So from that moment, I got an opportunity with Saintly Beverage Co., who, yes, Kieran and Christian Bard and the brothers. And you know, again, so much respect for what they've done. They've had an unbelievable career. And, you know, I pretty much said to them, look, I don't know much, but I'll give it a crack, right? Like, let's just try it. And next minute I was out on the field just knocking on doors, and I seemed to be okay at it, right? So from that point, you know, I was obviously did quite well, and they, you know, they had me going to Melbourne, they had me going to the ACT, and I eventually actually built a little small sales team for them. But that's kind of the journey there, and that's pretty much the timeline of how that all worked.
Yeah. And then you used that experience to kind of, I'm not sure if it's simultaneously, land Young Henry's as a client, what was kind of going to be your first step to launch Drinks Factory?
Yeah, you've got it right. So I heard down the chain and just speaking, I actually think it might have been a bottle shop manager, that they were looking for a merchandising team. Now, in my head, I was like, wow, that sounds cool. Kind of that naive 20-year-old, like, let's just see what's going on. So I've rocked up at the Young Henry's, like their little house, call it, in Newtown. And I've just gone and spoke to the bartender. I'm like, hey, you guys like looking for a merchandising team? One conversation led to the next. And then the national sales managers come down. And we've had a conversation, and look, again, I was just honest. I don't know much. I mean, I've done it for Ampersand. I've done it for Saintly. I can build you a team and let's rock it. And I guess the infectious enthusiasm, I guess that's what landed the deal, right? So that was awesome. And again, you know, I look back now at kind of all of this, and it sounds almost crazy, right? It's so much respect for, you know, Dan Hampton and his team there for giving me a crack. Cause I think a lot of, and this is what I really liked about that craft beer sector that you touched on earlier. I think a lot of companies would see a young, naive 20-year-old with not much experience and just be like, thanks for coming. But, you know, they were open arms and they were wanting to help us. And, yeah, look, credit to them, cause I think we did a great job for them. So,
yeah. And I'm guessing too, what alternative they have? They go to the big merchandising organizations, they pay them a lot of money, they lock themselves into long contracts. I imagine you made it quite easy for them.
Yeah, and I think the relationship was reciprocal, right? They knew that we were new, but they also knew we'd give them 100%. And I think, as you said, right, that probably was their alternative, to go to one of the big boys and see what they can do there. But at the end of the day, I think, and especially with their team, and I can only speak on their team, just really great people and they want others to succeed. And that's why I continue. We love working with those boys and girls there. Just amazing people and really gave us a crack. So
great. And that was the birth really of Drinks Factory. And did you, when you did that, you know, obviously it was an opportunity. You saw it, you grabbed it, you made it happen. Did you start to think, oh, with something in this, I should write a plan, I should set goals, I'm going to build something here, or is that just not your style?
I mean, I wish I could say yes. I mean, I was like, whoa, this is cool. Let's go head first at it. I mean, you know, I think what I learned from recruiting, you know, is I was actually giving my best people away. And I think that's the hardest part in this game, is actually good people. So I was like, well, now I've kind of built a team. Let's just keep trying to get more clients. So I just tried new things. You know, I would, again, just rock up the breweries and try and chat, or I'd send emails, or I'd make calls. And I guess at that point, look, there was a little bit of structure to the madness. You know, it wasn't all just like, let's throw everything at it. Cause I obviously knew I had limited funds. I had limited resources, so you've got to be quite specific. But I guess that really was the start to what I think is something quite special today.
Yeah. So clients 2, 3, 4, and 5, was it a case of you had a rough idea who you wanted to target at least? And or was it just, this is a sector I want to play in?
Yeah, I knew it was a sector I wanted to play in. I think the big thing at that point for me was that there was no clash. So I wasn't working with companies in the same category because at that point we were also supporting with sales, right? So for me, it was quite important that I kind of steered towards people that aren't, there's not going to be a conflict. You know, we also did, to be honest with you, we made quite a noise with that Young Henry's project. So again, I think that infectious enthusiasm hit the street and we built a little bit of a following and yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic, and we'll continue with it. But did you see then, Aria, there was like barriers to growth, or was it just full steam ahead? Let's just crack on.
Do you know, I think a big thing for me and the way I try to live my life in full transparency is I like to look one day at a time, one foot forward each day. So of course, you know, there are these lingering thoughts like what if, but I look at it. What if it goes well, right? Like, what if it goes well? And that's the way I try to live. So of course there were barriers and, you know, these things are difficult, but I try to keep that optimistic viewpoint. Like, what if it goes right? How beautiful could this story be?
So. Do you know, I live life as an optimist as well. Mm. I just think it's so much easier. and I think if I've surrounded entirely by optimists, I think it'd be crazy. The world would be mad, right? I've got to be reined in by, I call them pragmatists, but, you know, more pessimistic individuals.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think if your mindset is purely why not do something and looking for the worst case scenario, you don't do anything. You get stuck. So I'm all for that optimism and you know, what can be as opposed to what can't be.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So let's kind of, practically, you know, you do compete against big established national or state-based merchandising firms. You know, how does that kind of go? How do you differentiate yourself from those guys?
Yeah, and you know, absolutely all respect to them as well. You know, I think they've done some fantastic things and you know, obviously being quite a young company, you know, we do obviously look at what they're doing and some of the things that they've built. I think one of the main things for me is obviously Drinks Factory. I believe we're in our own lane. So I don't compare against them. You know, if my team, if we can be better than we were yesterday, we're moving in the right direction. So I don't like to compare as the first thing, but I think something that we've really built on, which has been one of our strengths, is our data analytics. You know, if anyone that's worked with us or, you know, would like to inquire, our data analytics program is extremely strong and it's liquor specific, which, you know, a lot of these big companies haven't really tailored into. So in terms of comparison, I'd probably say that's our strong point. But again, you know, I can only look at what we're doing and better ourselves and our team day by day.
That's interesting. So despite the fact you're new to the marketplace and not as large as some of the big guys at Strikeforce and so forth, you've developed products from an analytics point of view that are actually creating value that are unique to your business and your clients in the marketplace. So just describe what you mean by analytics in your world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to touch too much on it because obviously there's a lot of people listening and would love to have a chat, so come inquire. But what we've developed—
brief overview, yeah.
—is an individual program which tells companies and brands exactly how they're looking across national retailers, across on-premise venues, whether that's to do with their ranging, their ticketing, their pricing. It really dives deep into a state, national, and a store-by-store breakdown. So what we aim to do is to give companies a full kind of 360 view of compliance and activation and kind of the differences we can make in trade. So it's not necessarily just like the photos they're seeing, but, you know, they're actually seeing incremental sales volume. You know, they're seeing changes within positioning in store. And we try and make that quite detailed.
Great. So you're measuring what it is you're trying to do and showing them what the impact is in a way that they can actually then build, you know, get a sense of performance and then resetting goals going forward. It's really interesting. Yeah? And we'll not go any further because I know that this is going to, this is your competitive advantage. So we'll not unpick it too much. But okay, so talk to Aria if you're interested in the analytics package. It sounds pretty cool. Now, I want you to look forward. I know you're not naturally a planner, it's day by day, but you know, if you were to kind of jump forward, say 5 years, what would the business look like? What would you be doing?
Yeah, and look, I have a picture in my head. You know, I'd like to be one of the biggest companies across FMCG and a well-trusted company as well. I think that's super important. Obviously, as we've grown, you know, developed fantastic partnerships and a client base which really trusts us and we love working with day in, day out. 5 years down the line, although I'd love to answer that question straightforward, I'm not going to, I don't know. What I do know though is 5 years forward, we would have improved our, made even better than what it is, our data analytics package, our team, and our service that we can offer. And again, like it touches on that point, like we focus on us, right? And that's so important for me. Yeah. So we'll take it day by day.
Cool. So I like the fact you haven't just gone to scale. It's been about service and delivery. Yeah. But to give the listeners a sense of your business, you know, it's not just you and a couple of mates now, is it? You know, how many people do you have merchandising?
Yeah. So obviously we've got our merchandising team and we've also got an in-store sampling team. So we've obviously got the two components now. We've got about 150 staff nationally. So we operate in every state in Australia now. We've obviously had quite the growth, which has been fantastic. And I'm extremely proud of the growth. But I don't like to get caught up in the growth, right? That's important. I don't like to get caught in it because I think it's so important that if I change the way I think and, you know, I don't live this day by day living. Look, I'm very grateful to have people around me, such as my accounts team and other sort of mentors that can kind of steady the ship at times. But, yeah, we've got about 150 now and growing, which is fantastic.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely superb.
Thanks, mate.
So let's talk a bit about, you, because we now know a bit more about your business and the journey to this point. But so what's your role now? What do you do day to day?
Oh, well, again, I wish that was a straight answer. I mean, look, day to day, I mean, one of my key functions is obviously sales. So bringing in the business, that's super important. Operations, making sure our team are in the right places, doing the right things, you know, working with companies to activate marketing strategies and implement, key point indicators for what we're actually meant to do for them is very much my role. And just making sure our team's in check. You know, I'm quite proud to have built all these, you know, systems and which make it very easy for the customer to engage with what we do. But obviously there's a large operation that we run, which needs to be executed perfectly. So I think that's probably my biggest role.
Okay. Okay. And what support do you have? You mentioned a leadership team or an accounts team, but have you built a leadership team? Is that something you have that infrastructure in place yet?
Yeah, we've got a really tight circle of our leadership team and people that I trust dearly. You know, I've been very fortunate. I think it's something to do with this kind of industry as well, especially looking at the liquor side. People are just really fantastic. And I've met so many amazing people along the journey who are always happy to support. And if I need a call, you know, will always pick up my phone calls. You know, I've got people in my own personal life who I look up to dearly as well, who have been great supporters. And, I think that's so important to anyone starting out or any individual on whatever you're doing in life, having that strong foundation, it's critical because not all days are good days, right? So you need to have that kind of support and that backing. So critical.
You do. So you've got your people around you. So you'd almost class in your team, friends, family, your network, the industry influencers and mentors that you've got, that's your team. It's not just the people in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something with our business is, you know, anyone that works for our team, it really is a family feel. I think companies see that as well. You know, that's another advantage point that we have. Like, I want our reps to know the national sales manager, to know the director. There needs to be that vibe and that transparency because at the end of the day, you know, let's talk about like an independent liquor company, right? That's their baby. So they need to know who's representing them. So we make sure there's that connection and, you know, there's at least being a coffee or a beer or whatever it is. It's so important for us that we can connect with brands and with people and connect our people as well, because we're extremely proud of them.
Yeah. So you've got this team, 150 people doing sampling and doing merchandising. You can't manage all those people. So you've got a national sales manager or a general manager?
We've got a general manager and then we've got a few other people in our team. So if one of our team members, Mireille, she runs all our tastings, and God bless Mireille, if you're listening, she's amazing. Much better with people than I am. And, you know, what we've tried to build is a team that are open communicators. With any problem, you know, they can come to us, they can talk to us, because we try to build a family, right? And that's the way I believe we're going to succeed. A lot of these, and I don't want to speak on any individual companies because I don't know, but at least from what we've seen, a lot of these companies don't even know who's working for them. But it is so important that we know exactly who's in our team and we trust those people as well, because that's the way we're going to move forward and grow.
Great. Now, you're an MD, you're a founder of this organization, Aria. Do you worry at all? I know you're naturally positive and optimistic, but anything keep you awake at nights apart from the parties you must be attending in the liquor industry?
Yeah, I think the one thing from that list missing is probably a human, right? Like, that's probably the one thing. So, of course, I've got my concerns and, you know, my personal life and a social life and all these things. But, you know, again, it's a mentality thing for me. So as long as I can keep moving forward, and that's the thing, right? Mike, not every day is going to be a great day. Some days are going to be bad. You know, some days you've got to just wear the smile. But when you wake up the next day, it's going to be okay, right? And that's my kind of message. You know, not every day is meant to be perfect, and that's okay. We all live in the same world. We all have our problems, whether it's whatever it is. And of course, I'm human. I've got issues too, right? But as long as we can take the bad days and learn from them, then it's okay.
So I think it's just fascinating and really good advice, Aria. You know, and let's not forget, you're still doing your degree as well. So how do you achieve the balance of all of those things, the human component, the business you're growing, you know, you're still trying to complete this degree at some point, all these things going on at the same time. How do you actually ensure that you don't burn out?
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think football has been really pivotal to me being successful. It's obviously taught me the discipline, and it's taught me to keep on the right track. You know, I think mental health is definitely a thing today, and it's something we focus on in our business quite heavily, right? So going out there, sweating it out, being with friends, enjoying it, being active is so important. I think that keeps me on track. And again, I think it just goes back to my point, right? Like, one step at a time, day by day. I don't like to look too far because it's quite scary, isn't it? Like, but if I can tackle each day as it comes, no one knows what tomorrow is going to bring. Let's be real. We've got no idea. So why am I looking so far? Let's just look day by day and just try win that day. And if you win that day, you're better off than you were yesterday, right? So,
yeah. And you must have fun though. I mean, it's a great industry. It's very social. You guys are clearly going well. You're growing, taking market share. You're surrounding yourself with people that you really care for as well. Do you guys have a lot of fun doing it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think that's what's so important. Like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, yeah, let's get today, right? I've got a smile on my face. And I think for anyone who's thinking of chasing a dream or any ambition, like, just go for it, because you know what? It's going to be better when you wake up in the morning. It's like, let's chase today. Let's win. It's a lot of fun as well. Look, I'm a human. I like to party as well. I like to have a drink with clients. I'm 22 years old. Like, and I will continue to do that. Hope if I'm not rocking by 60, someone slap me. But yeah, I absolutely love the industry, and I think I've got a passion for it, and I've really got a deep desire to change it as well.
You could probably still cope with the hangovers at 22 as well.
Well, not as well as I used to. I'm useless these days. If I've had a big Saturday, Monday's a write-off.
I've got no comment for that. Cool. I want to talk a little bit as well about advice, because you've mentioned a couple of times there, go for it, which I think is really important. And because the final section of every pod we do is on advice for others. And you're still early on in your career. You packed a lot in. You're still packing in lots. But in my experience, career advice for people of your age or generation or younger, and it's always been the case, to be honest, is rubbish at best. It really is. Whether it's schools, unis, well-meaning family members. And it's part of the reason we do this pod is to give people career advice as their career progresses. But I think they start out with a very narrow perspective. So accepting that everyone is unique, they're not all like you. They're not, there's people who are more pessimistic and less inclined to go for it. But what advice would you give, or do you give your generation, those people around you, on jobs and careers and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think It's a really interesting question, actually, and it's something I've thought about a bit. You know, I think if you can find something you're passionate in, you don't necessarily have to have an absolute master game plan, but just run with it, whether you want to be an artist, whether you want to be a dancer, whether you want to excel in sport or excel in the business world. I think finding that passion and finding that desire is step one. Now, step two is throwing yourself head first. Now, of course, I think as human beings, one of our biggest downfalls is fear, right? We're scared. And there's many things that scare us. And, you know, I think the unknown is a massive factor of that. So like, again, it goes back to that what if point, right? But at the end of the day, I think that desire and doing something that you love, and it doesn't matter what it is, I think with enough brute force, quite literally, and strength within yourself, you'll land where you need to land. So I don't think it needs to be such a focus on, hey, like what's going to happen in 10 years, 20 years? Like, again, let's focus on today, right? Let's focus on like, what do I love? What can I do to be better than I was yesterday? And I'm pretty sure the stars will align. At least that's how I like to see life.
I like that perspective of turning the shorter term focus into real positive. Because I think people often get overwhelmed by the longer term goals that they're expected in their mind to set. You know, and they perhaps look at careers as this long thing that they've got to map out and get right. And therefore, they're fearful of making decisions that might derail them. And that creates inertia, actually, often not making decisions or not Absolutely. Taking a risk. And if you're not making decisions or not taking a risk, and you end up staying in your comfort zone too much. And we talk in this pod a lot about make sure you gather experiences. You know, do things that are different and contrasting that create perspective and challenge for you that enables you then to think differently about what opportunities are out there. And it perhaps gives you confidence to try things that you wouldn't otherwise try. So I think using the short term a little bit to take the fear away from the longer term is a very positive way that you've used, I think, your natural mindset there.
And I think it's important to note as well, like, you're not always going to get it right. Like, we as humans are designed to fail, because when we fail, we learn, right? And that's the only way we can grow. So if you give it a crack and you fail, hey, well done. You've got one step further than you were yesterday, right? It's all about growth at the end of the day. And, you know, there's many a times in even my young career where I've absolutely failed. And I look back at it and I'm like, well, I know what to do now, right? I can tell many funny stories, probably not on this podcast, where I've had an absolute nightmare. And I look back at it and I'm like, wow, would have played that completely differently today. But it's okay, right? Because I learned and I'm a better person and a better businessman and, you know, a better individual than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a growth mindset. You know, I think, again, put yourself out there. Don't worry about messing it up, because everyone messes it up all the time. When I interview somebody, one of the things we focus on a lot, Aria, is this growth mindset and how to unpick someone's vulnerability by talking about themselves. Because when they talk about their mistakes and what's gone wrong, that's when you get the real insight into the individual, because they get a sense of how do they learn, how do they rebuild, if they're tenacious, can they demonstrate resilience? And that shows a lot about their potential, not just what they can do right now, what they can go on and do in the future.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to just, getting towards the end, I want to just talk about your future a little bit more as well. So are you always going to be an entrepreneur? Obviously, I'm not going to be able to tempt you into recruitment, the sounds of it, but are you always going to be an entrepreneur? Is that always going to be the thread running through you?
You know, I think I've definitely got a lot of awesome plans. Even though I'm not much of a planner, I'm definitely a thinker. So I've got some cool
ideas. Awesome ideas.
I've got some awesome ideas that I hope one day to launch.
And give us a hint. Throw one out there.
Starts with a B and ends with factory. How's that? So we've got, you know, and it's not just me. When I talk as a collective, we and my team. Because I'm a strong believer. I'm a strong individual and leader, but I'm nothing without my team. And that's so important to note. So we've got some incredible ideas and plans, and, you know, at the moment, my big picture is obviously growing Drinks Factory, continue to grow the company, continue to grow the people within the company. And I think we'll land in a good position, and let's see what comes. Let's see what life gives us. Like, I've got no idea, but, you know, I think it's going to be a cool ride either way. I mean, I'm up for the ride. So whatever comes, let's do it.
Yeah. Watch this space. Listen, I hope you get lots of reach outs after this. We've got a great listenership. A lot of people within that consumer FMCG liquor space. Some of you will know your business. A lot more will know it now. So I loved talking with you, getting to know you a bit better, understanding the journey and what the future could look like. And I think your mindset is refreshing and actually really powerful as well, Ari. So thank you for sharing it with me.
It's been great chat.
And guys, thanks as always to you for listening. We've got lots more guests to bring you on the pod this year. We'll be hearing very soon from Daniela Stapleton, who's the sales director of Mooty, the FMCG superstar of the moment. Jonathan Sully, marketing director, William Grant. I'll make sure he listens to this pod area as well. We've got Tim York on, who's CEO of V2 Foods. And we've got three superstar HR directors and a category special hosted by my colleague, Andrew Kanick. And as they say, lots more to come. And by the way, if you'd like a particular topic, a business or as a leader in your world you think should be in the pod, reach out to me or the team and let me know. Thanks again, Ari. That was awesome.
Thank you for that very much.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast from AXR Recruitment and Search. We're passionate about helping you get the most out of your sales and marketing career. Keep listening as we bring you more career insights and advice from Australia's top sales and marketing leaders. You just can't get this career advice anywhere else. My name is Mike Dixon. See you next time on Your Future in Sales and Marketing.